And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which we thank God is quite warm in here in the studios.
Hallelujah.
I mean, the cold, frigid weather has come upon, it seems like, almost all of the country. So much for the global warming. I don't know what happened to it, but it's not warming up yet. We're looking forward to the spring, but we're glad to be with you on today's Grace Hour broadcast and live from our studios. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Rinaldo Brown will be your host for today's Grace Hour podcast. And we do want to remind our listeners, the chat is available for those of you that would like to weigh in. We really appreciate it when you share your comments with us. Some of you even asking questions along the subject lines of our topic. We appreciate that as well. So don't hesitate to reach out to us and share your thoughts with us as the program unfolds today. The theme this week on the Grace Hour is what it means to be spiritually alive.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to focus on waking up. Again, addressing all those that are battling with spiritual sleep, spiritual slumber. This is really an important theme and subject, Pastor Brown, because this happens. I mean, I'm going to make an honest confession. I battle with this in my own life.
Sure. I would co-sign that. I want to look at it two ways too. I want to look at it as the first side is that when I was not saved, I was asleep. I was in darkness, right? And then when I am saved as a believer, I can be asleep at the switch. I can have dead spots. I can, you know, when you get these habits, you get Christian habits and you just kind of walk through the thing. You can be spiritually asleep and you can be a member of a church. You can be spiritually asleep and be in it and be, in the ministry and you just kind of going through the memory, the spiritual muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know you're asleep until someone tells you that you're asleep.
It's true. Again, one of our texts, there's many portions of scripture that we will hopefully bring to light today during the podcast, but one of them in particular is Ephesians 5:14, where mm-hmm. Paul writes, and it's interesting because he's writing to believers.
Yeah.
You're not talking to unbelievers.
Yep.
Unbelievers don't need to awake mm-hmm. out of their spiritual sleep. They need to be raised from their spiritual death.
Absolutely.
So again, he is addressing believers and he says, wherefore awakest thou that sleepest? And arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light.
Mm.
Again, I receive that, and I think to myself, I gotta stay mm-hmm. sharp, spiritually mm-hmm. speaking. I gotta stay alert. I gotta stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
This is a theme that again is addressed throughout the scriptures everywhere. And you know, how do we wake up spiritually?
Well, it's so funny that most of us that are asleep don't know that we're asleep, so we don't even see the need. So there's like the house is on fire and I'm not even aware of it. And Paul likes this metaphor of sleep whenever he's talking to believers. He'll use it through his epistles like, okay, wake up. Like you see in Ephesians 2, he's like, you were, now you are. So be alive and walk in what you have, right? Beginning of chapter 5, he says, walk in the love of God, be awake. I think the first thing is getting past into denial that I'm asleep.
Yes.
Because you can talk to people all the time and say, oh, no, I'm doing fine. I'm healthy. Like, it's the guys. No, I'm not sick. I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm really good. And you're not good.
Yeah.
Nixon used to have as a president, he used to say when he was sick, no one around him was allowed to tell him that he was sick.
Mm.
He could sneeze, cough. That doesn't matter. Fever. You're not allowed to tell the president that he's sick. And some Christians, you're not allowed to tell them that they're asleep. Here's a heavier word for Christian. Backslidden.
Yeah, which falling asleep spiritually can lead to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because who really sees that? Somehow it's like when you fall asleep and you're halfway asleep, you don't think you're asleep. What's the first thing you say? No, I'm awake. I'm awake. I'm awake. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm awake. When really, you're not. You're not fine. You're not okay.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned how we could, all believers could potentially fall into a lukewarm condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't realize their condition. They said, We can see, you know, we're clothed, we're rich. And God said, that's strange that you would say those things because I see that you're blind, naked, and poverty stricken. How could they have gotten it so wrong? Because this lukewarmness, this spiritual slumber that comes over believers can potentially do that. So think about it. Let's use a practical example. What happens if you don't wake up to go to work? I mean, it doesn't happen once. It happens several times. Well, you might lose your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Now, we want to make it very clear to our listeners. If you fall asleep, spiritually speaking, you don't lose your salvation.
No.
But what is at stake? Well, you may lose your way. You might lose your purpose. You might lose your calling.
Wow.
You might lose your ministry. These are very important aspects of our lives as believers. And do we want to jeopardize those things? Do we want those things to be lost from our lives? I don't think so. So again, we're not talking here about the loss of salvation.
Right.
But there is a lot at stake that we should be fighting for and fighting to stay awake for.
Like we heard last night, we could be salt that loses its saltiness.
Exactly.
We could, we know we cease to have a ministry in Matthew 5 of salt and light. And I think the impact or the influence of the church has weakened because of sleepy Christians. Sleepy saints.
Yes.
Pretty much. Like, why aren't we more influential as we used to be in this country? Why aren't we more effective in our message? Why aren't there more churches planted? Why aren't there more souls being saved? You could say the rise of evil. You could say the heart of man. And those would not be wrong answers. But are we complicit in that as a church universal? Are we complicit in that and that we're sleepy? Our salt has lost its influence, its purpose, our witness.
Yeah.
There are many things that NGOs do, non-governmental organizations, that social groups do, that the church used to do, we no longer do. We just have kind of handed it off to someone else, and we've gotten a little sleepy to the spiritual needs of our community in which we very well live.
Yeah. You know, how do we come to that realization that we're sleeping? Well, maybe we could use this illustration. The alarm goes off, and we just don't even hear it.
Yeah.
I think that the only way out of spiritual slumber is if God gives us a message. Isn't that really what we read in Revelation chapters 2 and 3? You've got these seven churches in Asia Minor, and God speaks to each one of them specifically, individually, and basically shines a light on the conditions that are taking place in those respective churches and says, here's what's lacking. Here's what's missing. Here's what's been tolerated. Here's what's going on. Here's what will happen if some changes don't occur, if we don't wake up out of our spiritual slumber. So it takes a message from God. And I think what's so invaluable is that you just keep coming to church.
Yeah,
I think the best bet to be awakened out of spiritual slumber is that you show up in your local assembly and God gives you a message that can arouse you out of your spiritual slumber and awaken you to the reality of what's at stake.
That's what God says in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And notice the prohibition at the end of that. And as the day approaches, do it the more.
Yeah.
Why would I do it the more? You could read that verse say, do it the more because of the condition of the world. But perhaps I can personalize that and say, do it the more for my own sake, for my own safety, so that I stay sharp. If I want to stay awake, you put yourself with awake people in an awake environment, an environment that's on fire for God. I want to be part of that. Put me in that atmospheric spiritual opportunity, and then I have a chance to stay focused, because where my focus is where my faith is. And if I lose focus, it's quite easy to lose my faith.
Yeah. And the world is constantly trying to put us to sleep. It's important to note that for all believers, the world is not our friend.
Yes.
All right?
Absolutely not.
James chapter 4, verse 4 says, friendship with the world means, for the believer, to be at enmity with God. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not written to unbelievers.
Right.
That's written to believers. Mm-hmm. So again, what is the world constantly doing? It's constantly initiating mm-hmm. to the believer, mm-hmm. hoping to, with its temptations, mm-hmm. with its distractions, with mm-hmm. its toys, with its, all of its initiations, hoping to distract a believer, to lure the believer away from their God-given assignment here mm-hmm. in this life. And we just have to guard our hearts. I just think of Lot mm-hmm. when he chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan, pitched his tent mm-hmm. towards the cities of Sodom mm-hmm. and Gomorrah, and he ended up there. Mm. And what happened? He wore down his righteous soul. Second wow. Peter chapter 2 says that he just, based upon what he saw mm-hmm. and what he heard, what mm-hmm. he saw and what he heard, right? Mm-hmm. What came through the eye gate, what came through the ear gate impacted his soul to the extent that when God sent a rescue team to take him and his family out,
yeah.
he couldn't even make a decision to leave.
Wow.
They had to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
They had to put their hands on him and say,
yeah.
we got to get you out of here because
drag
as long
outside.
As you're in this city, God can't bring the judgment upon it,
wow.
which is a beautiful type of the believer being saved
mm-hmm.
in the rapture mm-hmm. before the judgment of God falls upon the earth. But mm-hmm. clearly, Lot was falling asleep yeah. spiritually.
And it can happen. You could even say in some respects that Joshua, when he defeated Jericho, then Ai came. What happened? Somehow he got off the way. And it's like you turn aside. It doesn't take much, right? Because when a believer falls asleep, he's not been blinded, but he's been deceived. The believer gets deceived by turning aside and going another way. Okay, well, maybe, and this is the world's message to the believer. It's enough. You're saved. It's enough. You don't need a witness. You don't need a call. You don't need a church. They celebrate. They allow the event, but they don't promote the lifestyle. Just you're saved. Be quiet. Sit at home. Mind your business. Don't be involved. Don't be on fire. Don't share your faith. Don't know God anymore. Just stop it. Stop it. The world says it's enough.
Wow.
We'll give you your section. Have it.
Yeah.
Right. They cordon you off. In some country, they even have certain parts of the city. This is where all the churches are. So you go over here, you hang out there, you do your thing there, and that's it. But oh, we're over here.
Mm.
And there's no salt and there's no light.
Dangerous. Dangerous place to be. So some believers may be tuning in today to the podcast and saying, well, you know, this is not my problem. I'm a strong believer. I'm an alert believer. Let's talk about the story of the strong believer in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. I think his name was Samson.
The strongest.
And didn't Samson take a nap?
Oh, that's right.
He took a nap on the lap of Delilah.
And got a haircut.
He fell asleep spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there will be some Christians saying, yes, yes, yes. And of course, the Philistines gouged his eyes out.
Yeah.
But his hair grew back. But his eyes didn't.
That's a great point.
There were consequences.
That's a great point.
I mean, he fell asleep in the lap of a woman who found out the secret of his strength. And then, I mean, it's not to say that that was the end of his mm-hmm. ministry and his mm-hmm. purpose with God. Again, he brought more Philistines to their death than
yes.
when he died.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a valuable principle to mm-hmm. take away from his account in the Old Testament.
Mm.
He was the strong one.
That's right.
He was the one who could fight off all of his enemies at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
But when he fell asleep in the lap of Delilah,
mm-hmm.
all of that changed.
I like what you said there. There are the law of unintended consequences. You think you can turn the switch on and turn the switch off and you're the same guy, but my hair will grow back, but my eyes won't.
Yeah.
There's going to be some residual damage that affects my walk with God when I fall asleep in my spiritually speaking. That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, I think it happened with David.
Sure.
David committed that sin. He tolerated that sin in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had a chance to confess it and repent of it quickly, he didn't.
That's true.
He let a lot of time lapse,
mm-hmm.
almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
God said to the prophet Nathan, you're going to have to go and confront him and tell him,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty risky.
Yeah.
Because David had already killed one man.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's probably thinking, you know, who's to say that I won't be next? Because
right.
I'm going to show up at his doorstep and I'm going to give him the bad news.
Yeah.
But David did repent, but there were consequences in
yeah.
David's life.
Yeah.
And I think that goes without saying that again, we're not talking about the believer's loss of their salvation. We're mm-hmm. talking about potential consequences yeah. that could really impact the life of a ministry, especially if that believer has a ministry mm-hmm. and God has a calling upon his or her life mm-hmm. and they've been used mightily by God. I mean, I just keep thinking about the Apostle Paul and when he wrote to the Corinthians and he says, you know, I live with this, for lack of a better word, I live with this fear mm-hmm. that after having preached to others, mm-hmm. I myself might be a castaway. Mm. I think that was Paul's way of saying, I don't want to fall asleep. I sure. can't afford to fall right. asleep spiritually mm-hmm. because I have a responsibility to pay my debt to the world. And that debt is I owe them the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to fall asleep spiritually, so I can't pay that debt.
I think the best way to get ready is to stay ready. And I think when you think about being sharp as a believer, spiritual disciplines help. Being around spiritual people help. Always feeding your personal walk with God helps. But actually being a participant in your walk with God, we're not spiritual zombies. God, Christ is not dragging you through life, but you have faith to participate and actively choose to engage God in a personal way, but also in a corporate way. That's why we're in a church, so that we can encourage one another. We can exhort one another. We can build one another. And this is one of the ways we avoid, or if we avoid falling asleep, or we're not asleep for long. I mean, a nap is one thing. Rumpelstiltskin spirituality, that's a whole other deal. Uh-huh. Oh, my gosh. What happened? And that's the question you ask. When you wake up, the first thing you say is, what happened? Mm. What happened to me? What happened to the work of God? What happened to my call? What happened? Because the plan of God is not includes me, but it's not waiting for me. It's moving forward. And when I check out, I come back with the what happened, what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right, I come back with what's going to happen next, but this is a big thing in a lot of churches, because many people can get into a very healthy church, and you can just kind of coast,
yeah.
Especially in a big church, let's just say more than 150 people, you can hide, you can sit, you can float, what I call floating in grace, mm-hmm. and you can just sit there and you can hold your lattes and you can relax and just show up and be a good member. But you're not really being challenged to walk with God with a bit of the cross in your life.
Mm. Neutrality is yes. criminality.
Oh, for those who didn't get that, he said neutrality is criminality. Can you imagine? You can't be Switzerland. And we love the Swiss, by the way. But you can't be neutral. You can't be like, well, you know, either you're walking with God or you're not walking with
yeah.
God.
Yeah. And you're either moving forward mm-hmm. or you're going backwards.
Yeah.
There's no standing still as a believer in the kingdom of God. When you think about the dangers of spiritual slumber, mm-hmm. I'm going to just mention a couple of them. We can talk about them. Number one, the loss of spiritual sensitivity. When a believer starts to go to sleep spiritually, the voice of God is no longer clear. Mm-hmm. You can't seem to focus on it. Or sense the direction that he's giving you. We read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 3 in the first 4 verses. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we expose ourselves to the enemy's attack.
Yes.
The devil takes advantage of spiritually sleeping believers. Mm-hmm. Jesus taught that in that parable of the wheat and the tares. Mm-hmm. He said that the enemy came in and sowed the tares among the wheat while men slept.
Wow.
That's when it happened.
Yeah.
Thirdly, we can miss out on divine opportunities. Mm. Spiritual slumber causes us to miss out on God's timing and the purpose that he has for our lives. Jesus said that about an entire nation. He mm-hmm. said that about the people of Israel.
Yes.
Luke chapter 19. Mm-hmm. He said, you did not recognize or realize the time of your visitation. Mm. You missed out on the opportunity to recognize that your Messiah had come, but you did not see it. And he wept
yeah.
over the city of Jerusalem when that happened.
Well, like you could say Jacob in Genesis 28, you know what? He said, he fell asleep. He said, God was in this place and I knew it not. one of the scariest things in your walk with God is when you lose spiritual sensitivity. Never mind discerning just evil or sin, but you don't discern the presence of God. You don't discern the things of God. A natural man can't see, or a carnal man cannot see spiritual things even in a spiritual environment. But a spiritual man can see spiritual things even in a natural environment. He can see God in everything.
That's right.
But when you get desensitized, that's a scary thing. Like, here's some symptoms of that. I come to church, I no longer get anything from the message.
Mm-hmm.
I say that I don't know what they're preaching. It's not that the word's not coming forth. You're not engaged. You're not plugged in.
Yep.
I'm no longer sensitive to the body of Christ. People, their capacity, their needs, their portion, their identity. I'm no longer sensitive. I get a little edgy. I get a little irritable. I get negative. I get critical. I start drawing away instead of drawing near. And when I draw near, I don't draw near with a full assurance of faith. I draw near with suspicion. I draw near with evaluation. I draw near with an edge and a motive. And all of that, I'm losing my spiritual sensitivity.
Yeah.
I cannot discern what is of God and what is not of God in a practical way anymore. I lose it.
You go back to the story of Samson. You know, when he got his hair cut by the barber, Delilah, the Bible says that he woke up and then he just thought, like he had always done, he would just deal with the Philistines, shake them all off, just take care of it. But then it says this in Judges, the 14th chapter, he did not know that the spirit had departed.
Wow.
That's spiritual insensitivity.
That's it right there.
You don't even recognize it. Mm-hmm. He just assumed it's going to be like it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wake up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shake them off. I'm going to keep moving on. Mm-hmm. Even though I've tolerated these foreign women and I've allowed them to come into my life and God told me not to, even though I have been a good Nazirite up to this point, but I have violated some of these things that God told me not to.
Mm-hmm.
Again, toleration, when we tolerate temptation in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not suggesting that it doesn't happen. It happens to all believers. Temptation comes. But I think it's like Martin Luther once said that, you know, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest in your hair. Right? That's the point.
Yeah.
You can't, no one can say, I'm never going to ever be tempted again. No, you will be. But it's how you deal with the temptation.
Yeah.
To be tempted is not a sin. But when you start to, well, you start to make concessions, you start to yield to it, you start to tolerate it in your life, that's when the toleration can lead to treachery.
Mm.
And before you know it, it leads to treason. And you have turned your back on your relationship with God. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Well, like Solomon, you can kind of watch this graduation in Solomon's life. I mean, you look at the beginning of his kingdom. He prays to God that amazing prayer in 2 Kings. And then you kind of watch him slowly lose his sensitivity. He takes foreign wives. He takes in their gods, and their gods corrupt him. And before you know it, he is so far away from God. By the way, he was the wisest man in the Bible. The wisest of us, like, wisdom doesn't protect me from deception. A relationship protects me from a deception. I need to be sharp in my relationship with God. That's my protection. God forbid I get to a place where I feel like I know enough. To quote Pastor Shallow, you never outgrow stupid. You just don't outgrow that. That's ever present. It's ever available for me. It's ever opportunistic for me. And when you do, this leaves you to the other point that you mentioned. It leaves me open to satanic attack. I'm thinking of the verse in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, about Satan taking people captive at his will. I want to say that's 2 Timothy 2:14. But it's a great verse. It's like, takes them captive at his will when it's convenient for him. When it's convenient for him. I'm shocked at the way that we can fall and be available simply because we're unplugged from fellowship with God.
It's amazing how easily it can happen in our lives. There's a verse that comes to my mind based upon what you just said. It's 1 Corinthians 10:12. Paul writes, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between standing and falling are the words, take heed.
Yeah.
Guard your heart, mm-hmm. Proverbs 4:23. Mm-hmm. Stay as alert spiritually as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be like the foolish virgins that we read in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. You know, they just, there was no urgency.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
There was no urgency. And remember, well, you know, I want to make something very clear to our listeners today. You know, you can have a sense of urgency
right.
without a sense of anxiety. We're not suggesting that everybody needs to be on edge mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. anxious mm-hmm. and constantly looking in the mirror of life and saying, you know, am I awake? Am I alert? No. Just you can have the urgency
right.
without the anxiety. Some of the signs, mm-hmm. Pastor, of spiritual slumber. How about a lack of passion mm-hmm. for prayer mm-hmm. and the word? Mm-hmm. You know, I think a spiritually asleep believer finds prayer and Bible study mm-hmm. like a little burdensome. Like, sure. You know, I've been doing that for decades.
Done that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Decades. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have also been doing it for decades. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I don't know anything as I ought to. I need to be re-educated mm-hmm. in the scripture all over again. Pastor Shallow used to say it this way, learn it all again.
That's right.
Learn it all over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we need to be refreshed. Truth sometimes that is in our souls can become stagnant, mm. and it needs to be stirred up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why constantly, as you mentioned, drawing near is so critical. Mm-hmm. And then how about a diminishing hunger for the presence of God? Mm. You know, no longer is worship mm-hmm. necessary mm-hmm. or even valuable in your eyes.
Sure.
Compromise, as we mentioned a moment ago, with sin. Mm-hmm. Very, very dangerous. Watch out what it is that you tolerate in sure. your life. Just be very – it could be just a little bit. The thing about the devil is that you give him an inch, mm-hmm. he'll wait 5 years before he takes his mile.
Mm.
He is skilled – at the art of patiently waiting until he finds an opportunity in the life of the believer. And that opportunity could be that we're starting to fall asleep spiritually.
That's echoing the verse we just mentioned about 2 Timothy 2:20, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Wow. I also was going to say familiarity is what breeds, I would say, this sleepiness. I get familiar. Like, case in point, most car accidents, insurance companies say most car accidents happen within 5 to 10 miles of your home. Why? Because that's the place where you kind of go on autopilot. You're just like, yeah, make this right, make this left, I'm home, boom, boom, boom. And they're not high-speed accidents. They're usually under 30 miles an hour within 5 to 10 minutes of where you're going, your destination, because you get familiar. And if you've been taking in the word and doing your daily devotionals and in the prayer and all these things, you get familiar with it. So then when you get familiar, you get sleepy. And when you get sleepy, you get sloppy. When you get sloppy, it's shocking where you tolerate. You tolerate. Well, yeah, normally I wait for this stop sign. I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to go right through it. A car never comes this direction anyway. And then, bam, the one time you do, it does. Or like I was also thinking about, what's the number one place you mentioned compromise that we compromise is our relationships. Mm-hmm. We compromise in our relationships not knowing we're compromising our relationship with God. But that's the place where you tolerate the most. That's the thing, the people in your life, well, I've known him for 20 years, I've known him for 5 years. That's the place where you put down your guards.
Yeah.
That's the place where you get lazy. You're not so discerning. You're not so convicted. You're more free. Yeah, I know Jim. Jim's always been like that.
You get to know people after the flesh.
Yeah, absolutely. You go right there like, yeah, Jim is Jim and I'm Tom is Tom. And before you know it, you're just like Tom and Jim. Mm. You think you're going to change them, but through tolerance and familiarity, you're no longer salt, right? You're no longer light. But you start to look like darkness, right?
Amazing.
You get corrupted.
It can happen.
Yeah.
We have some listeners tuning in and sharing their thoughts with us today. Leitchi, I believe that's how you pronounce the name, says, I'm always watching you from Belo Horizonte down in Brazil. Thank you so much for that. That's encouraging to know that. And Stephen writes and asks a question. So what would you recommend when the available assemblies nearby or shall we say less than doctrinal?
Great question. That's a lot of answers to that. I'll say something brief, but Pastor Love, I'm going to lean on your experience here. I would say if it were me, I would want to know how far away is the doctrinal assemblies. In my experience, I know people that have gone an hour and a half for the Bible, because it's that important to me. But if that's not available to you, programs like the Grace Hour, but also, I would want to question which doctrine, how undoctrinal are they, in the case that if it's cardinal doctrines, then yeah. But if it's other doctrines, I don't want to say I'm being compromising, but I want to say also too that I want to also be able to love them in the things that I can love them and have fellowship with them in the other areas. Yeah. I can sit in there. So that's what I would say.
Yeah.
How far away is the word?
I know. How desperate are you to hear it?
I can remember driving for a job, Pastor Love. I drove for a job, round trip, commute was 5 hours. 2.5 hours in, 8 hours there, 2.5, because I needed that job. So I want to elevate my desire for the word of God to the same level.
Yeah.
In fact, in this church, we have people that drive 1.5 hours that I know about. To be
incredible.
Here because they want this word.
Yeah.
So that's my first challenge, Steve. Like, if that's possible, if it's within your wherewithal to drive, I drive.
And in the same statement, Steve, we're grateful that you tune into the Grace Hour and yet you listen on a regular basis.
He does.
Deborah says, these are absolute truths. Amen. Our good friend Arbor says, listening and tuning in from Nashville, Tennessee. Love my church and all the pastors. And I believe it's Romy's Gill. This is beautiful. I'm watching live from our mission office. Love from Greater Grace, Islamabad, Pakistan. And our two brothers, our pastors, are here from Pakistan.
And also we're so Pastor thrilled. Samson, yes.
Yeah, we're so thrilled to have them here. And then we have another brother tuning in from their country as well. Great awesome. To hear from so many of the folks that are listening to the podcast today. So let's talk about breaking free from spiritual slumber. Let's assume that some are listening today and they said, okay, it's happening to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say I've recognized that I'm starting to fall into that spiritual slumber. What can I do? Reignite your passion for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that quickens us quite like the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Nothing. Yep. Our souls, naturally, they cleave to the dust. Psalm 119, verse 25. Mm-hmm. But God says, I will quicken you according to my word. Mm-hmm. How about this? Start surrounding yourself with spiritually awake believers.
There it is.
Isn't that good?
Yep.
I mean, walk with the wise. And
you'll be wise.
Yeah, but a companion of fools
is soon destroyed.
There you go. Do that. Fellowship with believers that are on fire, hungry for God.
Yes.
They are looking for their purpose. They want to function in their calling and use their gifts to glorify God. And then maybe it takes for some an awakening along the lines of the prodigal son. You know, he recognized the condition he was in. Mm-hmm. You would like to think, who wouldn't when you're getting ready to eat what the pigs were partaking of?
Husks.
Exactly. But he saw it. He recognized it. And I think that one of the more beautiful passages in that account in Luke 15, it says these words, he got up.
Mm.
He got up.
He woke up.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. You know, you just say, I'm getting up and I'm going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting up and I'm going to fellowship with believers that are hungry for the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting up and I'm going to go to my Father.
Love it.
That can make all the difference in a slumbering believer's life.
One decision. We sometimes say that almost spiritually cliche-wise. You're one decision away from being spirit-filled. The reason why it's a cliche is because often cliches are true. Like, you are one decision from being spirit-filled. You are one decision from waking up. You are one decision from reaching, from touching God. You're one decision away. And there's nothing that can stop you from that decision. It's just the most powerful part is to make it.
Yes.
To make it. Like, okay, God, or here's a good evaluation. You know, we 2 Corinthians 13, I want to let God evaluate me. Psalm 50, let God search my heart. God, search my heart. In me, is there any wicked way? Am I asleep? at the switch? Is there something missing? One of the ways that you can wake up is just practicing the presence of God, drawing near to God. Say, okay, God, here I am. Not sure what to say, not sure what to do, but I'm available. I'm availability. The greatest way you fight familiarity with God is be available to God.
Mm, that's beautiful. You know, there's a parable that Jesus taught. It's the parable of the 10 virgins, mm-hmm. the 5 foolish, 5 wise. And of course, you know, the 5 wise, they trimmed their lamps with oil. They were mm-hmm. prepared. They were ready. And when the sound of the bridegroom coming, they were ready. Mm-hmm. The foolish virgins, no, you know, a little bit of a spiritual slumber there. Okay. And then it says that they finally heeded the call and they went and the door was shut. Again, that's a parable. That doesn't teach doctrine.
Right.
So we want to make something very clear to all those that potentially are struggling with spiritual slumber. Mm-hmm. That door will never be shut by
Amen.
God.
Amen.
That door will never be closed. Right. There's always a way back to God.
That's it.
And it's because of his grace. It's because of his long suffering. It's mm-hmm. because of his patience. It's because of his eternal kindness.
That's it.
That door will never be closed. The mm-hmm. door that takes you to the throne room of grace is always available. All it takes is one decision. You might even start out by saying, you know what? I'm tired of living this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I find myself in a condition that my soul, there is no joy. There's mm-hmm. no peace. I've forfeited all of those things that I once so thoroughly and completely enjoyed just because I wanted some other things to come into my life. It was a bad trade-off. It was a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize it now and I want to walk through that door. And if you do, you will find grace and mercy to help in the moment that you need it the most.
That's the key. The key is like understanding that there's no condemnation. The door is never closed. God does not give up on you. What God does, instead of canceling you, he wakes you up. He's kind of like, you know, when your alarm doesn't go off, he walks in your room, shakes your shoulder and say, hello, are you, wake up. Don't be late. Don't be late. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. God's right there. And I think for many of us, we all have areas in our life we can get a little sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe evangelism, maybe prayer, maybe Bible study, maybe church attendance. You know, there is a move in our country that is anti-assembly. They do not want you in the brick and mortar. They want you just to kind of build your own Christianity, turn your living room into your church, and never go assembling with the body of Christ. But they're trying to rob the church of the power and the encouragement of assembly. And assembly and coming together and being encouraged so that you stay awake. And we can get sleepy with that. And when you get sleepy, the Spirit is the one that comes and wakes me up and quickens me in Romans 8:11. Quicken me at salvation at Ephesians 2:1, and he quickens me in my life with God in Romans 8:11, and the Holy Spirit quickens me. He wakes me up. Engage the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to quicken you, to wake you up, to shake you up. It may cost you some things. Waking up may cost you some things. But what you learn later is when you went to sleep, it also cost you some things.
Mm.
Right?
Have you ever slept through an alarm clock?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. I used to do it all the time when I was younger.
Yep.
And then it would take my father coming because we my brother and I, we slept up in the top floor of our mm-hmm. home. So it would take my father to come to the bottom of the staircase and say, hey, let's go, John. It's time to go to work. You know, and I would hear that. And that was more effective than the alarm clock. Okay?
That's called fear.
Because I knew that he started out at the bottom of the staircase, yeah. but eventually he could come up the stairs.
That's it.
And you didn't, you know, I just rather heed his voice
yeah.
than have him try to stir me up out of bed. But listen to what Paul writes in Romans, the 13th chapter. Fascinating verse here.
Okay.
He says, "In that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed."
Mm.
He's talking about the imminent return of Christ,
mm-hmm.
which is, of course, we're living in the latest hour of human history.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jesus is closer to his coming now than he's ever been. And it's interesting because he uses the word time twice
mm-hmm.
in Romans 13:11. The first time it's the Greek word chronos, mm-hmm. which speaks of the, you know, the chronological passing of time, mm-hmm. moment after moment after moment. But the second time he uses it, and he uses the word high time, the word changes. Mm-hmm. It's no longer chronos, it's kairos, which is an epic-making moment. Mm-hmm. It's like the word kairos eventually turned into the word Kodak. Mm-hmm. We've all heard of a Kodak moment.
Yes.
One that you want to freeze in time. Mm-hmm. Well, he's saying it's high time. Mm-hmm. These are potentially epic-making moments in our lives.
Yeah.
Not to be missed. Okay. This is not just the chronological passing of time. We're living in a period of time that's called by the Apostle Paul high time. Mm-hmm. Time to wake up out of our sleep. Mm. We need to guard our hearts against this spiritual slumber because yeah. I got to be honest, and I'll be honest with you and our listeners, I don't want that to happen in my life.
Amen.
I want the fires to continue to burn. And thank God that, you know, the bruised reed, he won't break, the smoking mm-hmm. flax, he won't quench. Mm-hmm. But you know that God is always actively trying to stir this fire in our hearts mm-hmm. so that we don't slip into a lukewarm mentality, so that we don't become passive and indifferent, mm-hmm. but that we would remain with hearts on fire.
And that's the dangerous condition. The dangerous condition for the believer is not to be negative to God, but indifferent.
Yeah.
Indifference is actually more dangerous than negative. Indifference means I'm no longer moved either way by God. I'm all great for someone who's angry at God. Great. You acknowledge who he is. You're just angry at what he's done or what's happened. Fine. But when you're indifferent, it's like you cannot minister to someone who's indifferent.
Yeah.
You become it's like the verse that Paul talks about with a seared conscience. When your conscience is seared, you're spiritually sociopathic. You don't really, good and bad you have no moral base. There's nothing to challenge you with. And when you get sleepy like that, God's got to do drastic things to bring you back.
Yeah. You never want to end up like the man when they asked him the question. He said, what's the difference between ignorance and indifference? His answer was, I don't know and I don't care. He described his own condition.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, as we get ready to wrap up the podcast today, Pastor Brown, I mean, what can we say to our listeners? But, hey, stay alert. Mm-hmm. Stay awake. Mm-hmm. Whatever you have to do to stay away. You know, over the years, and I mentioned this recently, you know, driving back and forth to New York and conducting the chapel services for the NBA players, you know, sometimes you come home at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, on cold nights, to stay awake mm-hmm. behind the wheel of the car, I would have to roll down all the windows. I mean, it was sub-zero temperature.
Right.
But I had to roll down those windows, let all that cold air come into the car just to wake me up because I knew potentially what might happen if I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the end of my life. Mm. I'd end up in a ditch somewhere. I might even, you know, end up dead.
Yeah.
So spiritually speaking, we have to have the same approach to the condition of our souls. Mm. Don't let anything in this world, its distractions, its temptations, mm-hmm. its entertainment, anything that would wear down our righteous soul, tire us out, mm. make us, as you said a moment ago, indifferent.
Yeah.
Just deal with those issues because there's so much at stake in our lives. Not our salvation. That's secure.
Amen.
But what about, again, as we said at the outset of the program, what about our purpose, mm-hmm. our calling, mm-hmm. our ministry, the fruit that God knows he can bring forth from our lives?
That would be our spiritual opportunity.
Yes.
Right? And that's what can fluctuate in your experience with God is your spiritual opportunity. And that's another one of those words for the word for time. It speaks kairos, the Kodiak mode. It speaks of opportunity. You lose that. So how do I stay awake? Stay engaged.
Yeah.
Stay engaged. Stay plugged in. Draw near. You said to the right place with the right people with the right message. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. When you have no reason to draw near, draw near. When you feel you shouldn't draw near, draw near. When you feel like you don't belong, draw near. Just keep engaging because if you stay engaged, you will stay awake.
Even if somebody says you don't belong here,
yeah. Who are they?
Keep drawing near.
Yeah, who's drawing those conclusions anyway?
That's right. Hey, we'll close with this comment by Daisy Lee. She writes. She says, "I think I'll just sit and listen." good things are being taught here, godly things. Wow. Thanks. And Jeff writes, I thank God that even in my physical, with my physical issues that I'm having now, I can praise him all the time.
Amen.
Amen. That's what you call staying spiritually awake, Jeff. We Amen. Appreciate it. And thanks to all of you that weighed in and shared your thoughts with us today. Pastor Brown, thanks for joining us. And friends, well, we want to remind you, we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of our podcast, and we look forward to having you join us then. So until then, may God bless you.